special episode of Fortress Comic News. It is our Avengers Endgame spoiler cast. I am one of your hosts, Chris. Alongside the musical maestro of Mike.
Hey! All right, so we're doing a all Endgame, all spoiler episode. So if you've not seen Endgame, if you don't want it spoiled, I don't know what the hell you're doing here. Go watch it and then come back and listen to our sultry voices.
This is all right. One and only warning.
Because it's late at night on a Sunday, we're going to jump right into it. Okay. So I'm just going to start out. The movie is 3 hours long, but I'm pretty sure I can highlight the key points. All right. Let's try to go through a recap and we'll just give an assessment of each section of the movie. All right. So I'll call this like part one. Mm-hmm. Thanos gets his head chopped off. but even before that, the movie starts off at a different tone and a different style than all the other Marvel movies have started off on. We see Hawkeye training his daughter, right? Mm-hmm. I believe his daughter, and it's a really heartfelt moment. They're throwing some Marvel humor in there, and then boom. The snap happens and he loses his whole family, which was like, and then it was just like, boom, end game. It was almost like I was watching an episode of like Breaking Bad. And it was like, I was like, oh man, like the solemn moment happens. And then it's like Vince Gilligan. It's like, that's what it reminded me of. So what a way to start off the movie. And then it gets into the whole typical Marvel intro we see in all the movies. I thought that was a cool way to do it though.
Yeah.
It really sets the tone. It sets the, like, this, we're not messing around. This is the, we're keeping this tone of everyone, and like all the loved ones are dying.
And we got to set up Hawkeye, where he was, what he was doing, and how this is going to affect where he is later in the movie.
Right. And I think something they did really well in the beginning of the movie. And I have issues with this movie too. I'm going to talk about the, I mean, we might have given it a 10 out of 10. Oh, but do I have some issues with this movie? It doesn't make it necessarily a bad movie. But anyway, so the Avengers crew that's left over almost shares the same attitude as the fans. Like, man, they just killed everyone. Like Thanos, just, let's go kill them right now. Like, what are we doing waiting around? And that's almost what happens in this movie. They're like, you know, Captain Marvel shows up. They're like, "What? Why are we waiting around? Let's just go kill him." And somehow they track they want to get the gauntlet back. They're going to snap everybody back. So they realize that after he killed everyone, he snapped the gauntlet again. Well, they find out where he's staying. He's staying on a planet. He's severely injured in his casual attire, wearing his pajamas, farming. And they find out he used it again to destroy the stones. Well, when you use the Infinity Gauntlet to destroy the stones, apparently it takes a lot out of Thanos. He was very weakened. There's a little bit of questioning going on, and then Thor, in the heat of the moment, chops his head off.
Yeah, and there's an important thing that happens there, too, that I want to point out. Now, mm-hmm. there was always this discussion that Captain Marvel is going to show up and just kill Thanos. And that was it. That was done. That's it. And right. I wanted to point this out. Captain Marvel isn't Superman.
Yeah.
And there's, although she is very strong, you see even Thanos in a weakened state was almost pulling her off of him when she's holding his arm. So I thought that was a very important moment to emphasize that although Captain Marvel may be very strong and possibly the strongest person in the Marvel Universe in terms of heroes, that doesn't mean that she's just infallible and can do whatever she wants.
Yep. So that kind of sets up the plot for the rest of the movie. I mean, I know from the trailers we thought, oh, it's either space travel or time travel. Well, they pretty much set it in stone that this would be a time travel movie. So that sets up the entire plot for the movie is that they need to now go back in time at each different point throughout the Marvel Cinematic Universe and grab the Infinity Stones when they're in their most vulnerable state, get the Infinity Stones back, and then snap their fingers.
So basically part one ends when Thanos' head gets chopped off.
Right.
Then we fast forward 5 years.
5 years. And I like how they slowed it down to the screen comes up, it's like five. And people are like, months? Weeks? Yeah, and it's like a year. It's like, holy shit. At this point in time, though, Ant-Man is still not out of the whatever the universe, the micro universe he's in. So he's still.
This is what I call part two, the greatest hits.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Yeah. So, I mean, we find this, the time travel comes from Ant-Man being trapped in the quantum realm. He gets saved by a rat. So thanks to the rat hitting the controls, Ant-Man comes back. Which is like the entire movie premise is saved by the most randomest moment, which is kind of crazy. So he comes back and explains, and this is basically how the Avengers get to research the time travel. But 5 years has gone by, so we get to see where every character is, which is pretty interesting. Like, Tony Stark has a family now. He's a daughter. He is living in a cabin. He doesn't want anything to do with the Avengers. He's basically given up that life.
Cap is in a support group, or leading a support group, I should say.
Yep. Hawkeye is doing his arrow thing on the CW-verse.
he's being a ninja, man.
Yeah, he's a ninja now. He's killing people. He's a vigilante that's gone. He's just killing all the bad dudes in all the world. And Black Widow is the head of like a division to where she has like different people reporting to her from the Avengers and checking in, which she kind of explains that's all she has. Like, this is all she ever had. She never had a family. The Avengers was her family.
Important Easter egg here. When Wakanda talks about the earthquake happening from the ocean.
Right.
Namor.
No, I don't see how that's relevant at all. It's just an earthquake. Yeah, so when they're checking in with Black Widow, we get the whole earthquake, tectonic plates shifting. It's like, nah, Namor's just benching. It's his bench day. Like,
so although I think that Namor still belongs to Universal, I think that was a hint towards Namor, if not just an Easter egg.
Right.
Because that's how Namor attacked Wakanda at one point in Avengers. So, yeah. But I was super excited about that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured you'd like that. So, yeah. And then the Hulk. I think the Hulk was the best part, right? So the Hulk, he figured that he was the strongest in his Hulk form, but he was also weakened by the way he can't comprehend or make intelligent decisions. So he kind of morphs himself to be the Hulk, but also have the extreme intelligence of Bruce Banner.
Professor Hulk is the best.
Yeah, Professor Hulk. And it's, you know, he's taking photos with the kids. He's having fun with it. So that was a pretty cool part to see in the movie. So, you know, a little bit of hand waving here and there. They get to convince Tony Stark to help them with the time travel. So, boom, they're ready. They got to go back in time. They're going to grab all the greatest hits of where the Infinity Stones are. So, help me out with where they go back in time. The first one we see is the original Avengers movie.
So, yeah, so they're going to go back in time. They figure out a whole plan. They're going to go back in time, grab all the stones. And, they go to the first Avengers movie. So they get the scepter from Loki.
Yeah,
the Tesseract. I want to point out that there's a lot of hints towards Secret Empire in this. That's right. I brought up Secret Empire twice.
Mm-hmm.
And when Cap looks at the guy and goes, "Hail Hydra."
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So they go back to the first Avengers movie, and then we start seeing interactions with like of movies that we loved. So he's in an elevator again, like in Civil War, right? And this time he gets on the elevator instead of all the dudes getting on the elevator with him. And there are all these, he didn't know at the time, but they're all the S.H.I.E.L.D. people working for Hydra. And he's like, shit, I got to get this. How do I get this scepter? So he's like, you know, the commanding officer told me to take care of it. They're like, no, we got this, Cap. And he's like, I got it. And then he's like, Hail Hydra. And you're like, oh, dude, that's awesome. And he walks away with it. It's so cool.
Yeah.
But then he runs into young Captain America, and Chris must have been like jumping in his seat because we get a fight scene with the two. And the best interaction I think in the whole movie is when young Cap is like, I can do this all day, and old Cap's like, I know. It's like so good.
So actually I want to rewind one second. Mm-hmm. There's an important moment that happens right before they go back in time.
Yeah,
where Cap says, actually I think it's when they go to get Thanos, where Cap swears and says, let's go get this son of a bitch.
Right.
So that happens, and then and this just kind of proves that Cap's kind of like mellowed out over this 5 years. Mm-hmm. There's this ongoing joke about with Ant-Man about Captain America's ass.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah.
And he goes, "It's you know, he has this joke where like that's America's ass." And it was this amazing moment where Cap, old Cap, wins, and he looks down and goes, "That is America's ass."
Yeah, they're talking about this new costume. So he's like, "That old costume did nothing for your ass." It's so good. Yeah, there's, I mean, there's all that humor thrown throughout it.
Yeah.
But they kind of botch the. They're supposed to grab two. They're supposed to grab the staff, and they're supposed to grab the Tesseract. Well, Loki gets away with the Tesseract. So obviously he gets away and jumps over to the Disney streaming service where we're going to see him on a TV show because they have to go through a whole new timeline with him. So that's like my first strike in the movie for how they treat time travel. And I know Marvel fans are like, they explain it all. They don't explain it all, but I'll talk about it at the end.
Here's my thing with time travel real quick. Okay, they set up some basic rules and then they go and do it. I don't care.
Right.
The one rule they set up was that the stones had to come back to the spot where they originally were.
Right.
And I'm fine with that. Outside, I don't want to nitpick. I mean, you can nitpick it, but for me personally, I don't nitpick it any further than that. We're dealing with time travel.
I'm only gonna nitpick that part because, like, obviously when he takes the Tesseract, it's not in the original spot it should have been. But then they go even further back in time and grab it from the 1970s, which was like, you just set up these rules for the stones, but obviously the one with Loki is in a different area, which broke the rule, but then they, I don't know. Anyway, so
yeah.
Because Loki gets away, they have to go back to the 1970s, so you get Cap and Tony Stark traveling back there. They also have to grab some Pym particles, right? In that era, so they had to get some Hank Pym particles to get back because they use those to travel through time. So you get this really cool conversation with Tony and his dad before he steals it from the lab, which is pretty cool.
And this is the first acknowledgement of the Marvel MCU really acknowledging that the TV shows are part of the universe,
right?
Because this is all straight from the Peggy Carter show.
Oh, okay.
So Cap ends up seeing Peggy.
Yep.
While he's back there as well.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. And then we got Hawkeye and Black Widow are going to the Soul Stone, which I forgot Red Skull's just chilling there. I keep forgetting every time they go back there. I'm like, oh shit, this guy's still there. So there's a big fight, and this is like the big major spoiler of Black Widow sacrifices herself because we know we have to give up something to get the Soul Stone, which is fine because Black Widow killing herself is she's giving up everything because she loved being part of the Avengers. Yeah. And like that was her thing. So really touching moment there where she gives up the Soul Stone and Hawkeye comes back. And then when they go back to the original Avengers movie, the Hulk goes to grab the Eye of Agamotto. Yes. And the Ancient One is protecting it, right?
Yes.
That's where we get the whole description of like, okay, well, if you steal the Infinity Stones, you got to come bring them back to a certain point in time. Which, yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, it's basically they set it up that this is string theory.
Right.
A very basic string theory.
So, and then they have the conversation like Smart Hulk goes to convince the Ancient One that they need the Eye because they're going to save the universe. Which this conversation probably bothered me the most out of all of them. He kind of explains to her that Doctor Strange let Thanos snap his fingers because he basically said it was like the only way, like 1 out of 15 million, you know, odds. This was the only path that they could choose. She kind of agrees with like the Hulk and is like, yeah, here, take the stone. Doctor Strange is like the best of all of us, which is like, how does she already know? Because if you watch the Doctor Strange movie, she's not very convinced that he's good enough to take up the mantle, right?
But the Ancient One can see past, present, and future. So, okay. Although she's not convinced he can take the mantle of Sorcerer Supreme in Doctor Strange, she still acknowledges that he is one day going to be the greatest of us all.
Okay.
So that was the reasoning. Because remember that that stone is the time stone. So she
I didn't see her coming to that reasoning in the Doctor Strange movie was what confused me. That, I don't know, she was convinced so easily. They get the time stone. And I think that's all of them, right? Did I miss one? Oh, it's the Thor one.
Thor, yes.
Thor and Rocket Raccoon team up, and we didn't even address the fact that it's now your beer belly Thor, who's
which is the greatest part of this movie.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on that. It's beer belly Thor, and it's kind of sad. He's turned into like a raging alcoholic because he killed Thanos, and then he basically lost his purpose after that. Like, he didn't. So he created a new Asgard, which is like a town in Finland or the Netherlands, where all the remaining people from Asgard live in like a fishing village, and he just sits there and plays video games all day and drinks beer, which we can all relate to that, I think.
Which, so I forget who was playing Fortnite, but when the kid starts yelling at him and Thor grabs the mic and starts like insulting this kid.
Yeah.
So good. Everything with Thor in this movie was fantastic.
Yeah. So they travel to, he gets to see his mother again, which is a touching moment. Cause we all know his mom dies. And all these characters, like during all these flashbacks, I mean, Robert Redford came in and, shot more scenes. I mean, you got Natalie Portman back shooting scenes in Asgard. Like, all these characters are coming back that, you know, nobody had any idea was happening. So that was pretty cool to see all this going through all the original movies. I mean, it was great. So they get all the stones. I completely forgot. War Machine and Nebula go to, was it like Mogul or I can't remember.
No, you're thinking of a different, but it was the first
Guardians of the Galaxy planet.
Yeah.
Where they grab, I think it's the Power Stone. So they're kind of like hiding while Star-Lord does his like, burr, 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 like dance. And they're kind of like hiding behind a rock. Like, this is the guy, like he's an idiot. And so they knock him out and grab the stone. So here in all this happening, we're still trying to develop a main arcing villain for the whole movie. Well, come to find out, Nebula is a little different than all the other Avengers. She's helping them now, but the issue is she has like a shared consciousness. She's like an android. So it's almost like an artificial consciousness, I guess, which is kind of cool. The way she's recording everything and the way her memories are shared are kind of different than everybody else. So there's still a Nebula on the ship, on Thanos' ship with Gamora before anything happens with all the other movies. So he kind of gets the clue that, I've already snapped everyone out of existence, and now these Avengers are coming back from the future. So he makes that realization, and then he gets the Nebula that's helping the Avengers from the future and replaces her with his Nebula that's not good.
To point out here that based on the rules that Hulk set up before they left, they have now created an alternate timeline.
Right.
So these characters are now an alternate timeline. So when the Avengers go back to the future to their timeline and these characters join them, these are not the same Nebula and Thanos from our timeline. Super confusing. But important to point out at this point in the movie.
Right. So that's, I mean, they get the gauntlet back. But as they're doing so, Thanos follows them back. He goes back to the future. that's like the second phase. There's three phases of the movie. The second phase is, you know, grabbing the stones, getting them back to the future, where they're going to. But then we see the repercussions. They come back and Black Widow's gone. So they're, you know, they take a moment to grieve and stuff like that. So then they do it. You know, they get the gauntlet. The Hulk agrees to wear it, which is a pretty cool scene where you see the Hulk wearing it.
Yep.
And then he snaps it. As he's snapping it, though, they're at the, you know, the mini Avengers headquarters, and boom, Thanos shows up with a ship, and he just starts, you know, the one thing I do like about this movie is nobody hesitates. There isn't like, oh, should we go kill Thanos? Oh, I don't know. Let's wait an hour and a half. You know, it's like, Thanos shows up. Should we fire? I don't know. You know, the whole like Star Wars thing of like powering up the laser cannon. It's like, okay, laser cannon 85%. No, like Thanos shows up and it's like, okay, fire every missile that we have, kill them all. Which I can appreciate that. I really appreciated that. So they show up, everybody's blown up, and you know, Thanos comes down with this giant like fucking meat cleaver. He's like, he just got done cutting himself a ham sandwich, and he's like, yeah, I might as well borrow this from the kitchen, and jump down out of the planet and kill some people with it. So he's down there and he's like, okay, everybody, you know, go get me the gauntlet and I'm just going to chill here. So
we forgot to point out too, when Thor was in the past, he picked up Mjolnir again.
Yes. Oh yeah, he did. Yeah. So he's staying there before he leaves and you're like, oh, he's reaching for Mjolnir. So he grabs that. So they recover from the rubble. Hawkeye has the gauntlet, and then the Trinity go to greet Thanos and just beat the shit out of him. So you get this epic fight between Thanos, Cap, Iron Man, and Thor. And Thor's wielding, you know, two weapons. He's got Mjolnir and what is it?
Stormbreaker,
which is awesome. And you get Iron Man's ready to fight, and Cap. So they're just fighting Thanos. And dude, this is the part for me where the theater was cheering. The theater was, we get the awesome moment where Thor is knocked down and you see Mjolnir fly past, and who grabs it, dude? Cap is wielding Thor's hammer, dude. How does he know how to control the lightning? Nobody cares. Nobody cares how he knows. He just does it. It's like, just do it, man. You got Mjolnir, just fucking
hit. Because he's worthy.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's worthy now. It was an epic moment. He's got the shield in one hand. Mjolnir, I mean, that right there is like all my money. You got it all. Like, that's so much fan service. I loved it.
That was hands down like my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah,
down to like how the fight coordination, the right. special everything about that scene. It was like they spent so much time just being like, this is gonna be the part where everyone flips their shit.
Yeah,
it needs to be right.
And then, you know, they get, obviously Thanos puts a beating to them, but you forget, they snap their fingers, so everybody's back. And you hear on your left, on Cap, which we know who that is, Falcon from like Winter Soldier when he's sprinting past him. And then we see all those portals open up from, you know, the magic users, and everybody comes through. We got Wakanda, we get, Spider-Man's back with the iron spider suit, is that what it's called? And you know, we got everyone, dude.
The guardians
are back. You know, it's Drax. You get Groot and Rocket are with each other again, which is awesome to see.
Basically everybody was snapped, and yeah, that's an important distinction. Everybody that was snapped out of existence is back,
right? Because I was gonna say Mr. Miracle, Vision isn't back. But we get an awesome scene where Scarlet Witch redeems her character, I think. It was awesome. She goes up to Thanos, and Thanos is like, I don't even know who you are. She's like, oh, you'll remember, bitch. Throws it like crushes him with rock. It was so epic.
So this fight is awesome because every character gets their moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that was big that they gave a separate fight for the Trinity.
Yep.
And that they had theirs, but then that when everyone comes back, Spider-Man gets his moment. Black Panther gets his, everybody gets their moment.
Everybody has a moment, yeah.
Yep. And it was just, once again, hats off to the Russo brothers and everybody else involved with this movie, because that is so hard to pull off.
Right.
And they nailed it in this scene. And yep. I just, yeah. So once Cap grabs the hammer, that's when my theater started cheering.
Right.
And yep. When the portals open up and Spidey swings through,
yeah,
that was the second point where everybody starts.
Yeah, cheering. Yeah, people are still cheering. Yep.
Yeah.
And then so, you know, the fight goes on, and then something, they start firing the missiles up in the air. They're like, "What's happening? Oh shit! Captain Marvel comes through, destroys the ship." And then we get to the final battle where it's like, you know, Thanos is trying to, he's got the gauntlet, he's trying to snap it again. And Tony Stark ends up tricking him where he gets all the gems on his hand. and then he snaps Thanos and everybody else out of existence.
And I thought there was an important moment here too, because at one point Captain Marvel grabs the gauntlet.
Right.
And she has it and is about to snap. And it's taken away from her and Tony gets it.
Right.
And I think it's important for two reasons. One, because that had to be Iron Man's moment. If that was anyone else's moment, it wouldn't have worked.
Mm-hmm.
But two, it also shows that moving forward, I think they're setting up Captain Marvel to be that leader and to really be the one that's going to take over for Tony Stark moving forward. But yeah, that was a big, big moment, especially the aftermath, as I'm sure you can talk about.
Yeah, so then lo and behold, Tony Stark dies. And you get that kind of like what happened with Spider-Man dying. Spider-Man is there sitting with him while he dies. Dude, my theater was soft. Like, people were ugly crying in my theater. Like, blowing their nose, like hysteric, like the most, like more than Passion of the Christ. Like, when I was a kid, we went and saw Passion of the Christ. People were sobbing. It was like, don't you know this is going to happen to Jesus? Like, all of you read the Bible. Like, this is nothing new. Like, as a kid, I was like, yeah, he's on the cross. Like, he's dead. But this is like, I didn't know Tony Stark was going to. People are bawling their eyes out. And yeah, it was, I mean, it was well deserved. I mean, it was 12 years of movies, you know, and all this history. Yeah. And sacrificed himself.
It was well deserved. It was well shot. It was well done.
Yep.
I felt like everybody kept saying, oh, everybody's going to die. We're going to have all new characters, blah, blah, blah. We don't get that. But I knew in my heart that Tony had to die.
Yep.
That had to happen for the MCU to move forward. So I had a feeling he was going to die in this movie.
Yep. He was pretty much done anyways. I mean, he was really, after his last run out in space, he was just like, it seemed like he was just done.
Yeah. Well, him and Chris Evans are done as the characters, so.
Yeah, I just mean the way they were writing his character at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much done with the Avengers. Like, he had some good reasoning. He's like, we haven't done any good. We suck at what we do. Yeah, so that kind of moves us into phase four of the movie, which is like the Tony Stark funeral moment. And then they've got to bring back all these stones.
This is what I like to call the Lord of the Rings 20 endings moment.
Yeah, right, exactly. So we're getting all these characters wrapped up, and it's kind of like tying up how these characters are going to continue, or at least the mantle of the characters. So then we're like, okay, well, everybody's wondering what's going to happen with Cap. So Cap obviously chooses to be the one to bring all the gems back.
This right? will be the moment where I start bawling.
Yeah. So Cap's going back in time, and he also they CGI'd like Mjolnir there by his foot, because I almost think that like they forgot at first and they like added it to the scene. They're like, oh shit, he's got to bring Mjolnir back. Like,
yeah.
you can't just keep it here. Which good editing done on their part. Someone caught that before it got out. Cause I completely forgot. I was like, oh shit, they never brought it back. Yeah. So they're, you know, all the, it's like Bucky, Bucky is Winter Soldier, Bucky, Falcon and, Hulk are sending him away. And he's like, he should be back in like 5 seconds, and he doesn't come back to the teleporter. And they look over at a bench and there's an old man sitting there, and it's like, no way. So what Captain America decides to do is he goes back in time. Yeah, he drops all the Infinity Stones off and everything, but he decides to spend his life with Peggy Carter, which is like what we always wanted for the character. He couldn't let her go. So he gets, that's his ending.
Which is so perfect. I mean,
yeah.
They even say in the beginning of the movie, I met the love of my life right before I was frozen.
Right.
So him getting to go back, be with Peggy, live a life with Peggy, was just the way that character deserved to go out. And when he gets back and he has that whole conversation with Sam, and my only kind of gripe here is I didn't think they set up the relationship between him and Sam as much over the past couple of movies.
Hand him the shield.
And he hands the shield over to Sam.
Yeah.
Once again, Secret Empire.
Right.
Prior to Secret Empire, this is pretty much what happened, was the Super Soldier Serum is out of Cap. He's an old man. He hands the shield over to Sam. his oldest friend in the world, outside of Bucky, who was gone for 80 years.
Sorry, Bucky, you got replaced, bro.
I love this moment because we get that old man Cap. He gets that amazing exit, and he gets to pass over the shield to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, my only gripe is I wish it was Bucky because I thought they set up that friendship to be the one that should have happened. But that's a small gripe.
Well, I mean, we are getting the Falcon. It's weird because he's getting the shield, but it's still the Falcon and Winter Soldier show. So, like, maybe Falcon doesn't use the shield or he gives it to Bucky to use. I don't know. Or maybe
so, I have two theories here. One is that this is a in-between show.
Okay.
Like, it happens somewhere in the, like, after Civil War, but before Infinity War.
Okay.
Or this is a shake-up and they announce it as Winter Soldier and Falcon, but it's really Captain America and Bucky.
Yeah, which that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Which the only thing for me was like when Captain America goes back in time, isn't there still Captain America like trapped in the ice?
Yes.
So is there when Captain America's old man, is there now two Captain Americas? Or does Captain America never get found in the ice? He's still trapped in the ice?
No. So my thought on that is that the Captain America of the present goes back in the past, lives with Peggy Carter.
Right.
And he lives on the sidelines while everything is happening. So Cap is still frozen in the ice, he's still thawed from the ice, and he still goes through all those things. But that's the Cap that's now old, that's his past. That's why they kind of do that whole thing where like your past is your future, but your future is your past, and like they kind of really quickly explain all this away.
Yeah.
It's confusing, but yeah, we still have a Cap because that is the future Cap is now...
That's his past.
...back in time, and this is now his future.
Okay.
As opposed to him kind of replacing himself and this and that, but...
Hmm. But all I say is this, like, the whole fucking with the timeline thing, jokes aside, there should be they messed with timelines, dude. They came in. I mean, Thanos. And then this isn't. I'm not talking about like continuity errors. I'm talking about like the repercussions of what they've done. Like Gamora is now. It was weird because they explained like no one can come back from the Soul Stone, but now the past Gamora is now in the present.
Which is why I said earlier when they find out.
Right.
That they're in the past, when Gamora and Thanos find out that they're in the past.
Yeah.
That sets a separate timeline.
Yeah, but what I'm about to say is, so like before Thanos even like gets to Infinity War, he's out there killing planets and murdering people. All that gets wiped away when he goes to the future. So is there a way that they can like maybe yes. the new villain's going to branch out of this? Like there's
no, so when they set that separate timeline and when they see the Avengers in the past,
mm-hmm.
that timeline out, like this is our timeline. That timeline's now off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they go into the future to their present.
Right.
So these characters are now characters on a separate timeline.
That right.
have gone with them.
Yeah, I get that. So this is what I'm setting up here. Okay. So they create a new timeline, right? Where now things are going to shit in this other timeline. Well, lo and behold, this little group called the Fantastic Four branches out of this new timeline. And they need help on their Earth because shit's going down with, I don't know, maybe a villain named Galactus or something. And they, Reed Richards goes to the new, or I guess the Earth Prime. Because that's the only, I think that's the way we come full circle. Like, okay, we got the time travel. We got like, you know, destroying matter with this whole, we got the little microverse and everything. Now do parallel worlds or multiple universes and bring in Fantastic Four, like Reed Richards, like, okay, you guys, we need your help. There's multiple Earths. I need to tell you that. And okay, we got to fight this dude named Galactus. Like, give me that.
I think what's going to happen there is now that they've set all this up, you're right. They're going to do all these things. But I don't think Galactus is going to be the big bad. I think
they mentioned it.
Going to be the big bad.
Oh, okay.
And I think we're going to get into Secret Wars territory.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. You kept mentioning Secret Wars.
Yeah. But there's a few things we set up here. So that's kind of tying up all the stories from the past that need to be tied up, which I thought were done really well. And then they had to set up what the future of the MCU is. So we know we're getting a Black Widow movie. We now know that that's a past movie because she can't come back from the dead.
Right. Yeah.
We now have Thor riding with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And by the way, shout out to Colin Bunn.
Yeah. Because
Thor says, as Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, yep.
We now kind of have who our new Avengers are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have Cap. We have Bucky. We know that there's other suits out there for Iron Man. So we can do another Iron Man, whether it's a female Iron Man or...
Well, that gets teased, right, in the end credits.
Yeah.
So that's... I actually left the theater before that. There wasn't an end credit scene, but they had the noise of, like, hammering metal.
Yep.
And that was what the sound of Tony Stark creating his first Iron Man suit.
Mm-hmm.
And they also showed... I'm going to give credit to Patrick for bringing this up, our first ever guest on the show. If you remember, there's a little like thing between Tony Stark and his daughter where he says, "I love you 3000.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you ever read the Iron Man 3000 series.
I didn't,
but I believe that's his daughter taking up the mantle. So I don't think it was out of, you know, complete randomness that she said, "I love you 3000 and then becomes Iron Man 3000 or whatever they call her. But that could be what they're going to do forward.
Possibly.
Pretty cool.
How old was she in the movie?
Oh, I don't know. She was a really young
kid. She had to have been like preteen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she was like, she had to be like 5 years old.
So yeah, I mean, that could be them just saying, we'll set this up, but we're going to let Iron Man sit for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we got Thor with the Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, all the Avengers. So all these storylines are now set up to do something moving forward. And we got Captain Marvel back on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a good job of telling us who the future of the MCU is going to be and where they kind of stand after this movie, including everything going on with Spider-Man.
Yeah, which is another thing, too, thank God Spider-Man and all his high school got snapped and then came back, because it was like they show him going back to school and it was like if his friend didn't get snapped, then his friend would have been 5 years older and wouldn't have been in high school anymore. I was like, there's a things. I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably a thing.
It's funny because Kevin Feige purposely set that up last year where he said, oh yes, all of his friends all snapped away.
Yeah, right. They're like, every one of his friends are gone. Yeah.
And we're like, okay, why do we care?
Yeah.
This is why we care.
That's why we care, because the end scene is in high school. Can you imagine, like, oh God, what would that Spider-Man movie be like if he has to go to high school and no friends? All his friends are older.
Well, it would be an actual Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. Oh.
Oof. Shots fired.
Yep. All right, well, I think that's a good stopping point. What about you?
Yeah, all in all, just a fantastic movie.
Yep. And if you want to tweet more about this movie, you can find me at Fortress Ricker on the Twitters. Where can you find you, Chris?
Fortress Chris. That's all we're going to do for this one.
Yep.
Well, thanks, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Yep. Bye.